First of all, like so many before them, notably Belinsky, who we've talked about, Lavrov expressed his dissatisfaction with the man who was still the most popular European philosopher of the day, in Russia anyway, Hegel. The problem with Hegel, he said, was there's a lack of any practical philosophy. In particular, Lavrov argued, there's no morality to guide action. And it was action, not words, that Russians, young Russians, in the 1870s increasingly desired. Secondly, also like many before Lavrov, in Europe as well as in Russia, Lavrov articulated what he considered to be the proper center of any practical philosophy. And that was a principle we've heard before, the idea of Lichnost, this Russian word that indicated the individual human being, the personality, the self. And Lavrov argued, as many did at the time and before, the need to judge all social relationships, all political relationships, by how they affected actual living human individuals. And of course, to seek a social order and a political order that would better promote individual welfare. But he also went further, and he argued in a way that was very influential at the time, that people he called critically thinking individuals, people capable of understanding these moral and political principles, of understanding the world around them, had a duty, had a moral duty to act on behalf of society as a whole, of the people who couldn't understand all of these things. Educated people in particular, who received their education in a certain sense at the cost of the poverty in the country, because they were not poor, but their wealth, their prosperity, even the little bit of money it took to go to university, came at somebody's cost. They therefore owed a debt to the rest of the country, to the majority. Third, there's a further innovation here in these ideas, especially in Lavrov's ideas. Namely, in a certain sense, one might say that Lavrov added Kant to this intellectual stew, this sort of intellectual borscht, one might say, of Russian ideas, of European ideas that were so attractive and so influential and inspiring in Russia. Lavrov rejected materialism and utilitarianism for one thing. He was totally uninterested in these scientific rationalist ideas of the 1860s, as many in the 70s also were, and went back in a certain sense to Kant's moral notions. Like Kant, Lavrov insisted on the existence of moral truths, absolute, universal moral truths. These were not transcendental ones in the sense that they were given by God. Lavrov, like many thinkers of the time, did not rely on religion as a source of truth. But these were moral truths that emerged from the very nature of the human being, from the natural inclinations of the human consciousness, or one might say in Russian, emerged from Lichnost. Just thinking about what the human being is and the nature of the human being will lead you to moral truth. And what were these moral truths? First and foremost, the familiar idea of personal dignity rooted in natural human equality. And secondly, elaborated much more now than in earlier years, the idea of justice. And for Lavrov, of course, and for many in his time, justice meant the recognition that one's own personality and its needs and the personality of another. And recognizing that these both require respect and the opportunity to develop. Something was completely lacking in Russia. You can see this is a continuation and elaboration with some new European elements, some new formulations of ideas that were truly becoming traditional in the way educated Russians critique their society. There are a number of other popular texts besides Lavrov's historical letters that tell you something about how these populists were thinking. And they too, in a way, emphasize this lack of respect for the dignity and justice of people that existed in Russia. For example, a work by a man named Bervy Florovsky called The Condition of the Working Class in Russia was published in 1869. And again, the censorship reform allowed many of these to be published where they wouldn't have been in earlier years. And this was a book that was not about working class in the way it was understood in later times or even in Europe. It was about peasants, the class of people in Russia who worked. And what really impressed people was its unprecedentedly clear description of how much peasants, and to some extent the small class of urban workers, suffered in Russia.